Welcome back to another insightful episode of Indu Talks, your guide to navigating the world of engineering. I'm Thomas, your host, and today we're diving into a topic that's on the minds of many aspiring engineers: what comes next after earning your bachelor's degree? Joining us is Louis Arbault, a Polytechnic graduate and a master's student specializing in renewable energy. We will attempt to shed light on the myriad of paths available to engineering graduates. From further education to entering the workforce, we'll explore the opportunities, challenges, and considerations that shape the journey beyond the bachelor's degree. Louis, welcome to my podcast. Nice to have you. Just a little bit of a background, everyone. Me and Louis, we know each other. I said my podcast because we also host a podcast together. He's my friend and my co-host. And by the way, go check out my other podcast. If you guys like music, I'll use this platform also to plug it, which is called The Stamp. If you like music, we review albums every week with another one of our friends. So yeah, that kind of brings us to, like, Louis and me, we've known each other since CJEP, and yeah, we kind of parted ways in uni academically, but we've both been doing engineering. Louis graduated from Polytechnic in physics, I guess. What was the name of the degree exactly? Physics engineering. Okay, so it's more theory, more.
It's like a mix between engineering and applied physics. So you go. We never do anything very big. We do everything that's small. So if you do thermodynamics, you do you go down to the atomic or particle level, and you always look at everything small. And mostly people that graduate go towards kind of like R&D research for things like optics or anything involving material science. There's other applications, but anything really small or requiring a lot of
theory. So there's like theory. There's a big emphasis on the natural sciences, more so maybe than in other engineering degrees.
What do you mean the natural sciences?
Meaning like the physics, the math. Like we use math, let's say in industrial engineering, we do. Yeah. But it's true, something really applied, especially 2 years in, you start moving on to classes that are more industry focused.
Yeah, a lot of math. I think it's the most math that you can do in Quebec in terms of engineering. And you do a lot of, you touch on everything in terms of physics apart from like fluid dynamics, and you lightly touch on like relativity and like large scale mechanics,
but
do almost everything else you definitely touch on and dive deep into. So you have a like really good theoretical base with applications that are a little bit more limited or less well known, let's say, than things like mechanical engineering or software engineering.
And I guess you make that choice. At the time, was it like a stepping stone for something you knew you were aiming for afterwards? Or was it just what you were interested in in the moment?
Right. So I heard it was a difficult program. The reason I went into it was to, because I wanted to have as much theory as possible and to be less applied. So I wanted to keep my doors open while learning the most fundamentals as possible in terms of math and physics. And I didn't want to go into pure and applied pure physics, because I wanted to have the engineering problem solving kind of attitude. I really enjoyed, for example, in my engineering bachelor's, like the project. We had a project every year, project class. I really enjoyed those classes. So it's not, in the end, it is pretty applied, the program, with applications, as I said, into optics or nanotechnologies and stuff like that. But for me, it was more of a tool to try to have more theory and while still being in engineering.
Okay. So you didn't like necessarily know what you'd be doing afterwards, but you just wanted the tools more than anything
Yeah,
else.
it was kind of a way to do like generalized engineering without doing generalized engineering. And so I didn't want to get locked into one category and have to work in a certain field necessarily.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's making me think that I jumped right into your uni experience, but maybe for the listeners, it could be interesting to know before we continue what you're up to right now. What are you doing on your day-to-day?
So right now I'm doing a Master's of Science and Technology in France in the school École Polytechnique. It's a master's in energy, environment, science, technology, and management. So it's a program basically in between. It's mostly engineers that go and do it, and you get in-depth understanding of how energy or environmental technologies work with a kind of political, economic, financial, management, business context around it, and you get tools. So you're kind of learning how to become a project manager or project developer in any field relating to energy and environment.
Okay. And would you say that's something you're enjoying right now?
I'm enjoying it a lot. It's like a
Okay.
perfect, for me, it's a perfect mix of the technical and the non-technical. I'm getting an overview of so many energy technologies. It's like a perfect, how would I say? I like to learn a lot of different things to a certain level without being like super specialized. So I want to be able to be a person that helps that creates coordination between different teams or people of different backgrounds within something that has a large environmental impact. And this program has, I mean, I'm learning about how we're modelizing, how do I say, modelizing or create a model for
Modelize? I'm not sure.
modéliser. Anyways, how we're creating models for the like for gas emissions or greenhouse gas emissions, how we're like calculating all that. I'm doing material science for like solar photovoltaics, and I'm doing, I mean, I touching on wind energy, touching on data science, on decision theory with mathematical optimization. I'm doing
It's
like
kind
so
of a
many
playground for
different,
like
yeah,
every subject you like, so
exactly. So you
yeah,
can
that's
really have
nice.
fun, and it's a cool program as well because it's an international. So there's people from my program, there's people from Iran, Saudi Arabia, Italy, Norway, Chile, China. We have people from everywhere. And we're only like about 20, and everybody's very motivated. And what's especially interesting as well is that most of the people did engineering, but some of them will have like bachelor's of science. And so everybody comes from a different background. So you have electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, aerospace engineers, less biomedical, you'll have like pure physics, you'll have energy engineers or things like this. And so, for example, I had a course on power grids and how, like an electrical engineering course, but from a power point of view. And I suck at, I mean, I suck at all disciplines of engineering, but I particularly suck at
No,
electrical
like,
engineering.
yeah, it's a beast
So
of its
people
own,
could
yeah.
help.
And yeah, you learn quickly that even in the workforce, we can maybe even touch on that a little bit. You learn quickly that anyways, you especially in engineering, you'll have to rely on other people, and you won't be able to find the answer on your own, like pretty much ever. But yeah, because you actually after graduating, you you actually worked a bit. You did an internship, I think, also. So, yeah, how was that, like, buffer experience and between finishing and going back to school? And why the right. decision also to go back to school after that experience?
Right. So I was finishing engineering. I was a bit tired, I guess, but it got a bit better towards the end. You know, you start getting worn out by the four-year engineering degree. And I had in my mind, I wanted to go to Europe to continue studying or for my next steps. So I actually had my four open choice courses that I could do on my last semester. And I did my exchange semester on that semester because I had just gotten a high enough GPA to ask for an exchange semester. So I did my exchange semester in Germany, in Berlin. And then I went to work after I graduated during my exchange semester. I went to work in a six-month fixed-term contract at Alstom, which is a train company, the biggest train and metro company in the world. So they build most of they build the REM, for example.
They build the trains themselves.
They're basically an assembly company. They don't make much. They just buy a lot of parts and make the trains.
Okay.
Design and build metros and everything. And I was working for them as I was trying to. It was kind of like an internal consulting by yourself kind of contract, but I was helping the metro team that was being the link between all the metro teams throughout the world because they have project teams. So they have to the guys making the metro in Cairo should probably learn from whatever they're doing in Lima in Peru or whatever. So they created the connections, centralized information and everything. And they wanted to be more environmental. So I did LCAs. I developed a tool to get order of magnitude calculations for carbon emissions of different decisions that you're making. And I also worked on an internal innovation project, circular economy innovation project where, I was basically making pitching to get funding, or we were trying to build a brand, build a concept with a business case, basically kind of like startup incubation.
Okay. And did you actually, because we've never really talked that much about that specific experience, that I guess we're doing client facing work a lot. No, not at all. Okay.
You mean client facing, like communicating with clients?
Yeah, like the pitching and all of that. That wasn't with a client. That was internally.
Internal innovation. So I was pitching to Alstom employees that were responsible for innovation within the company. So it was a bit alienating because I was sort of alone in a world where this team had never really had young people in it before. They worked very much in silos. There is a big culture of not sharing much information. There was a weird thing where information was people's number, like names. Like if I ask my boss, how do I get, I need to know how much this seat costs in this train. You're like, okay, ask so-and-so. And you're like, ask so-and-so. And he's like, ask this guy. And this guy's on vacation, so you're like, okay, ask.
Okay, yeah.
And you spend. Well, it was a bit of a. I didn't enjoy the experience much. If I can resume. Summarize.
And like coming into a company, like you're where you just graduated. You're kind of at the bottom of the of the ladder, and having to run after people that might not even consider you much. Yeah. It can be annoying for sure.
But what it taught me when I was there, I guess I didn't enjoy it much. I tried to make the most out of it. So I was doing what I enjoyed and pushing to do what I enjoyed. And I tried to learn things as I went along. So I enjoyed, for example, working on the innovation project. And I put a lot more work into that than I was asked to, let's say. Mm. And I learned how to build an idea, how to sell an idea and all of this. That was a lot of fun. But what I learned as well is that I need to know what I'm getting into before I get into it. Like, and now when I look for work or for internships, I know much better what questions to ask
in an
interview. Because I know what I don't want in a workplace and in an environment. So for example, I always ask how people work together. Like, I always ask if I will be able to know what my colleague does, you know what I mean? If on a day-to-day basis, I have interactions with them, because for me, it was a very frustrating thing where I was working on my own and I was not interacting with everyone around me. And therefore I was completely siloed and for now, for me, it's important to know. I'm talking a lot, Thomas.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you're the guest. I'm the yeah, that's what you're here for. That's what the people want to hear. So no, it's good for the for students to learn about these things.
So I ask when I go into interviews, I ask a lot of questions. When they say ask me questions at the end, usually I've already asked a lot of questions throughout the interview. And even I was going, there was like forums in my university, and in these forums, I was almost interviewing the companies.
Mm.
And I wanted to know how big it was, how big is the team you interact with, what is the culture? And I would say like things like, oh, I really enjoy working fast, working in a team, like brainstorming, or I enjoy like design phase for projects and or things like this. And you would see how they would react. And at some point when you're going through the forum, you interact with all these different companies, and some of them you'll realize, oh, we don't match. Like it's not a match, versus someone will be like, oh yeah, that's exactly how we work. Or, oh yeah, we usually do this, because people will be honest with you and they want you to match as well.
Okay. And
I think that's like a really valuable skill that I learned, was to understand what I wanted, what kind of environment I wanted to work in. And
yeah, it's like twofold. It's like twofold. Like first, you now kind of, you have experience, so you're in a position where you have maybe a bit more bargaining power also to ask for things. To choose, exactly, you can choose. Whereas at first you'll just take any internship. For a lot of people, that's the position you're in. But also through the experience, you've learned what you like and what you don't like in a workplace, and you learn about yourself also, how you work, right, and how you interact with other people.
But I guess, like, it may be something that you can't really apply without having first tried it out or understood from experience what you want and how to ask for it.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, if you're coming out of engineering and you don't know if you're going to do a master's, or if you want to be an engineer right away, or if you want to go work, like what I did was to work a little bit and see.
Mm.
And I think those jobs that you're doing, though, they're important, and somehow people is I think in Canada as well, like, you have bargaining power because people want to hire you. I think don't be scared to ask questions, like really dumb questions, like how many people are there, are there other people, how is there other young people, where are we working? Like, how are the offices?
But that's something that the recruiter, the interviewer might like also. Like, I know for a fact that the person I interviewed with liked my profile because they felt like at the end of the interview, we were having a conversation and we're exchanging more so than just me. Like, yes, you have to be prepared, but you need to leave some room for just creating that exchange with the interviewer. So not only are you getting the information you want, but the interviewer might see himself or herself work with you in the future, because you're already creating that that exchange?
So, same thing for me. I the internship I'm doing this summer, it was just the interview. He said at the end, it's good for me. I enjoyed that you asked so many questions, and I enjoyed talking with him. So
yeah,
I was asking questions, honest questions about everything, and if they see that you're interested, or that, because you don't want to work with someone who just answers and then doesn't, you know,
yeah,
never
like just waits for you to ask the next question. But yeah, but like once you were done with at Alstom and with that phase, but at what point did you know, did you figure out that, okay, I want to go back to school? And when did you start looking for different programs? Did you apply to different universities? Yeah, how did you go about it?
Right. So there's a few things. Like I think working, it gave me a little bit of vertigo, because I saw a lot of people that had been in the same company for 30 years, basically jumping from job to job. And it's not to hate on them, but it didn't correspond for me. I could imagine myself staying in that company for 30 years, and I could have just change job every few years, and I would have climbed as high as I would have climbed, and that would have been it. And it didn't feel like I was properly geared to get to what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was to work on energy or environmental topics, and I wanted to be able to have management or kind of like better understanding of this world of energy and environment that I didn't feel I understood enough to be able to get to that point. And when I was seeing people, how they were working, where they, what they were doing, what was their daily lives were, then I could start to like figure out that I wanted to study a bit more to be a bit better, and I could probably do what I wanted, get to where I wanted a bit faster, I guess. But I applied to a lot of applied maths programs, and that was my main idea at first. I was like, oh, if I'm very good at applied maths, I'll be good.
I can't do anything. Yeah. I have my superpower.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like it's like the mother of science. So it's like
everything. It's a language more so. Like, yeah. That's the way I like to put it is, you know, you have these different programming languages. I was talking with my brother, and he was saying, yeah, I don't know if I should learn this or that. Should I take math? Because he's in school right now. And like the way I kind of saw it was math is the ultimate language, you know, it's like that's the basis for everything. So I get what you're saying, and it makes sense with your degree also, which
yeah.
And the reason why you went into your degree, which was to get the right tools more than anything,
right? But there was this one program in Ecole Polytechnique that I had seen like a year ago. You know, I had started scoping out like potential masters and everything in Europe and everything, and I had seen this one. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like I can learn about energy and I can be kind of like learn about management, and it's like a perfect mix. But I really didn't think I would get accepted because I had a very bad GPA. And I say bad GPA, people are
you're giving hope to the people now. giving hope to all
I
these.
I had a really bad GPA.
Okay.
So I thought I wouldn't get in, but I had some good internships. And I had a good CV, basically. And last minute, I kind of like threw my application into this program. And I was like, I'm never going to get picked, but I might as well try it. And it was really last minute. Like it was fourth round, last day I sent there was papers missing and everything. And I got taken for an interview. And the interview ended up being a conversation. Like we said, like it was topics that I enjoy more than anything. So it felt like I was talking about things that I knew about because I talk about them all the time. And I eventually got selected for the program. So I decided I was still hesitant at first because it meant going back to school 2 years. It meant starting to work. I felt like a little bit old maybe. But I mean, in the end, it was easy because, well, you're never really working that old. Like you're not missing out on anything. And studying is a great, like, if you can afford it, like studying is a great thing to do. And also because I knew that the quality of education that I was going to get from this program was worth it. And I'm glad I did, because I have access to so many teachers, so many students. And also, like, this school is known for industry connection.
Mm.
And I've been immersed in, I've met so many, like, high ranking employees, basically, in a lot of energy environment companies, because they come and give conferences and we can talk with them afterwards, because the teachers are connected with them and bring them for during the class, or and you start to scope out, understand when you go in a master's degree like this, you start to understand also where what the industry is like, who's doing what is interesting, what are the projects that have a lot of potential versus things that you start to understand the industry a bit better, I guess.
Okay. How many students are in your program?
So in my energy environment program, we're like around 20. And in the Masters of Science and Technology, there's like 200, I guess, in a year. They're trying to move it up to 300. But it's like, because the school itself has a military engineering program. And it's like a really high level program in France, but you have to become like a soldier, basically, and you have to work for France afterwards and everything. And it's a really tough program to get into, but to open up to the world, and I guess also to go up in rankings for rankings, they like started programs for international students in English. So in those programs, there's around 200, 300, and there's programs like artificial intelligence or data science for business or smart cities, stuff like that.
Yeah,
wow, that's cool. For smart cities, but it's a lot of most in the other programs, there's a lot of business students. And in mine, it's mostly where the engineers are. Maybe there's software engineers in like Internet of Things and artificial intelligence as well.
Yeah, that would make sense. Okay. And to conclude, kind of, we've been talking for a while. I think it's been a really interesting conversation, honestly. The classic question would be, if you had like a piece of advice for graduating students, what would it be and why? It's a big question.
I guess from my experience, I had a bad GPA. I didn't really meet many people in my program, or I wasn't really involved in student life. I never really had relationships with any of my teachers. I didn't ask questions in class. I was always last in, first out, kind of. And so at a certain point in my engineering bachelor's, I had like, I put my head down and I was like, oh, I'm going to finish because I want to finish and be able to do other things. And I think I could have told myself, and I did tell myself, that it was not academic and that it was not for me. And so I would say, don't, even if you didn't enjoy the first part, doesn't mean you can't enjoy the second part. Let's say like I found a degree that was perfect for me, right?
Mm.
Because I had this background, because I started to understand what I enjoyed and how things worked and where I wanted to be. I found the degree that was perfect for me. And now, I would say I'm an academic student. I ask questions in class. I have relationships with my teachers. I have good grades, whereas I never did before. So I would say like, just because, yeah, the engineering degrees are not necessarily fun, not necessarily well put together. And there's other degrees, other things out there that have really good teachers, really motivating projects, well done environments in which you can evolve, where you can have access to startup incubators or and maybe the environment you will end up in next, even the academic environment you can end up in next, will could be much more fulfilling. So don't, I guess, give up on that idea.
Okay. There is an environment for you. You just have to be open to finding it. Hopefully. even if you have a bad GPA. moral of this episode. Louis, thank you. That was really insightful. I think students will enjoy it a lot. As for me, I'll be seeing you on the next episode of Endo Talks. Thanks for listening, and talk to you later, guys.